Bruchim Habayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha Shaiftim. I hope, Ezras Hashem, we get chizuk from the shiur. It enhances our Shabbos Kodesh. And I'm able to say to everyone here in the Heichal, listening live, and those who will hear the recording, Agutin Chodesh, a gebensh the gezunta Chodesh. It should taka be a Chodesh elo, we're able to get closer to the Bayre Yailam, we're able to experience the Gula Shlema, and to have everlasting shalom throughout the entire world, so that it's a gebenchte, gesunte, safe chodesh for Gans Klal Yisrael, and specifically where our hearts are in Eretz Yisrael. The shir is said, Lezeche Nishmas Uleile Nishmas. Rebecca Bas Serena and Leon Ben Rachel, thank you for your sponsorship each week. May their neshama tahiras have a lichtige gan eden. I just want to mention, by way of hakaras hatov and appreciation, we're about to start Parsha Insights on Shaiftim, and hopefully it will help us not only with the Parsha, but some of the avoid of Chodesh Elul. We know Elul has many acronyms that we speak out each year. The most obvious of Elul, Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. We are to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to us. Often we speak out the acronym of Elul, Ish R'Le'Ehu U'Matanas Lev Yayin, which is, of course, acts of Chesed. And another acronym of Elul that we speak out very often is that fact that a person has to be Ohuv Limala V'Nechmad Limata, to be beloved in Shemayim and cherished here on earth. And if you will, the beauty of the three acronyms that we just said, we know how a person has to work on their Avoida, Bein Odom LaMokoyim, Bein Odom LaChaveiroi, and Bein Odom LaAtzmoi. One has to work on all three, their relationship with Hashem, their relationship with a fellow person, and their relationship with themselves. So it could be that that's the explanation of the three acronyms. Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li represents my relationship Bein Odom LaMokoyim. Ish L'Re'ehu Matonis Lev Yainim represents my relationship Bein Odom LaChaveiroi. And becoming a person who is Ohuv Lemala V'Nechmad Lemata is working on the Mida of Bein Odom LaAtzmoi. I want to take a moment just to express Hakaras HaTov. From time to time, I mention or we speak out that it's really a great source of chizuk, the number of people who will listen to the shir or the recording and then will comment afterwards and offer feedback. Very often I'm sent questions, where do you find that Mara Mokum? Where is the source? I want to repeat something, and it's a great, great source of chizuk. And I could say the words that my father Zatzal often said, Mi yodea mimacha zikes mi. I hope you get chizuk from this year, but receiving the feedback and being asked questions perhaps is even a greater source of chizuk for me. I bring it up now specifically, everything that a person says we know is a fulfillment of how Hashem wants it to come out. Hashem man eloshein. Hashem is the one who creates how something is said and how it's received and accepted by people. And I found it so special. Last week's shir, Baruch Hashem, it's always a wonderful feeling to be able to get feedback and to hear and to receive chizuk. But apparently there was something about the shir that we said last week, which if you heard it, that I hope you did, the theme and the mantra was the idea of living in the present, ata now, and that ata with an ayin helps define the ata with an aleph. And of course, we spoke out a number of pshatim from the Chofetz Chaim, how if we have to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would expect it to say achar, not acharei. Acharei represents quite a distance, not close proximity. And of course, we gave the explanation that even when you find yourself in a situation of life of acharei, feeling yiyush, feeling despair, and feeling distant, you still have to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's when you'll merit uvoisid bokun, to end up clinging so close and tenaciously to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was a theme that we spoke out last week. I mention it now, not as chazara, but for two reasons. Firstly, to really express hakaras hatov and appreciation to the countless people that responded one way or another and let me know that that shiur last week, specifically there was something about that concept that resonated and struck a chord. In fact, today there were multiple phone calls, and some of them from overseas, different countries. I had such a beautiful phone call from a Rebbe. He sounds over the phone like such a beautiful and wonderful mechanech. You know, when you speak to a Rebbe and an educator and you just sense such a geschmack and such a warmth and such a vivaciousness and such a sincerity. So I got a phone call today from such a Rebbe overseas. He called from Manchester. Now, I have to make it clear, up until a few years ago, I wouldn't have had to explain Manchester. We automatically understood that meant England. But in the last few years, right near Lakewood and Howell and Jackson and Tom's River, another very popular area is Manchester. So I want to make it clear that the Rebbe that called me, when I say Manchester, although the Manchester near Lakewood is an amazing place, I'm referring to the Manchester, England. And he called, and he was someone who listens to the shiur each and every week on the recording once it's sent out. And he was talking to me in great detail about last week's shiur, the one that we just spoke about, the atah, living in the now and the present and making sure that even if something is acharei, you still are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I really have to tell you, it was for me a classic example of mi yoidei amimach hazik esmi. I had such extraordinary chizuk from this Rebbe, this wonderful mechanech who I mentioned sounds so beautiful and such a dedicated and sincere Rebbe, the one who called me from Manchester, England, that I felt such a hakaras hatov. I told him, I said, I want to mention in tonight's shiur how much chizuk particularly that call gave me. The other reason I mentioned last week is not in terms of chazara, but I didn't realize until we finished preparing and going through tonight's shiur that in such a real way tonight is part two of last week. And I didn't plan it on May when the shiur started. I realize the introduction now of the last 6-7 minutes is a lengthy introduction, but I felt that it was worth it. You'll see as we go through tonight that it's actually a part two. Last week having been part one, you'll see tonight's Torah. So if you're not familiar with last week's shiur, you should and try to listen. Tonight speaks out Mamash Ahemshecha part two of what we did last week. If you take a look at this week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim, we know that there are many people who are exempt from Milchama. Take a look in the beginning of Perek Chof. I'm sure these psukim are not new to you. They're psukim that we have read many times. Briefly, the psukim say, who's the one who built his house but didn't inaugurate it? He returns home from war. And who's the one who planted the vineyard, didn't finish it? That person goes home as well. Who's the one that has erusin with the woman but haven't yet married her? He goes home as well. And all I'm doing now is reading the very well-known psukim in this week's Parsha, Parsha Shoftim, Perek Chof, Psukim, Hey, Vav, Zion, etc. And then, of course, is the last group of people. Who is the one who's fearful and faint-hearted? He returns home as well. Take a look at that Rashi. Please look inside. Perek Chof, Pasuk Ches. Why is this person faint-hearted? What is this person yarei and fearful of? I imagine if I ask the men and the women here in the Heichal, I assume some of your first answer would be, well, he's fearful and faint-hearted of war, of blood, of guns, of swords, of killing. And I imagine yet other of you might say, well, maybe he's fearful of his sin and his aveiros, and therefore he doesn't feel that he belongs in the war because he doesn't have enough merits. Those two answers would be correct. Obviously, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi speaks out both pshatim. I ask you to look inside. Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, it should be understood as it sounds. The thing that he is yarei and rach levav, that he's fearful and faint-hearted of, sheino yachol lamed, he's not able to stand in battle. He cannot see a sword drawn against him. These things make him fearful. They make him faint-hearted, and as such, he's told to return home. Now there's a second pshat, that of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili. Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, the Tana tells us, he's afraid of his averos. Hayorei me averos shebiyodai. Hayorei me averos shebiyodai. He's fearful because of all the sins that he has. He goes home as well. This is a very well-known Rashi. I really, in dealing with Akara Satoiv and thanking, as I tried to a few moments ago, that's why I spend so much time on it, Akara Satoiv that I have each and every week to the listeners, to the people who provide the chizuk, ein milim befila habia rikshe levavi, I can't thank everyone enough. And keeping with Akara Satoiv, I want to thank Rabbi Avram Buxban. Rabbi Avram Buxban Shlita is the one who shared this pshat and the next one with me. And I'm so grateful to Rabbi Avram that he did, because I think, honestly, not only is it one of the greatest pshatim I've ever heard, but I really believe it's something that everyone should know. It's so important to live life with the following Mahalach HaChaim. Fasten your seatbelt and listen along. None other than the Kotzker Rebbe. The Heilige Kotzker Rebbe, Zechusa Yagan Aleinu, says, it seems like there's an obvious difficulty with Rabbi Yossi HaGalili's pshat. What was his pshat? What's the person yarei of? What's he rach levav of? His aveir shebiyadai. He did sins, and therefore he's sent home. If you take a look at the Gemara in Saita, the Gemara in Saita actually points out what type of averus it might be. It might have even been a minor dirabanan, so to speak. The Gemara gives an example of someone who speaks between putting on his tefillin shel reish, his tefillin shel yad, and tefillin shel reish. Even such a person, although he didn't violate a Torah prohibition, that soldier returns home from the military service. So can you think of the Kotzker Rebbe's question? Could you think of the Kotzker Rebbe's question? And I address that to those who are listening now as well. I imagine you could. I assume that most people must have done some type of aveira. Many, if not most people, did do some type of aveira, especially if you're detailing the aveira. Didn't have to be a Torah prohibition, but according to this opinion, the Gemara could have been the infraction of a derabbanan, like talking between tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel reish. So how big could our army have been? How big could the Jewish army have been according to the Sfat of Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? There were so many people that could claim innocence. There were so many people that could say they had no wrongdoing and with confidence headed out into battle. I never did an aveira. Rabbi Sai, it seems like such an obvious question that the Kotzker Rebbe is asking on Rabbi Yossi HaGalili Shita. Surely, there must have been, as I said a moment ago, many, if not most people who actually did some type of aveira at some point. So many troops were able to claim righteousness that we had such a large army. And if Rabbi Yossi HaGalili is to be understood literally, and most people did some type of aveira, then you're telling me our army was very, very small and minuscule in quantitative number? The Kotzker Rebbe therefore says, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili's pshat has to be understood differently. When Rabbi Yossi HaGalili says they turn back because they're afraid, it does not mean, says the Kotzker Rebbe, that he sinned in the past and he did averus in the past And therefore, such a person has to turn around. We're not talking about somebody who's currently sinning, somebody who sinned in the past. Who are we talking about then? Says the Kotzke Rebbe, you're right, many people have done aveiros. But then you have to do tshuva. And we're deliberately speaking about this now. Now, tonight is Rosh Chodesh Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Ani v'daydi v'daydi li ish l'reyeh matanus lev yoinim. Ohuv lemalo v'nechmod lemata, working bein odom la'mochim, bein odom la'chavera, bein odom la'atzmai. What more appropriate time is there to talk about, you know, beating that rush? What, are you going to wait until the few days before Rosh Hashanah? Beat the tshuva rush. Start it now. So yes, they did aveiros, and they performed the proper tshuva. After doing the tshuva, the person should hopefully, having had the guilt and the proper remorse, now it should be a thing of the past. The person at this point has to move on. After performing a tshuva, now what you want is a brighter future. You're not supposed to continue wallowing in the past over all the mistakes that were made and all of the aveiros that were done to continue to haunt and continue to haunt. We spoke this out last week in great detail with the letters of Adam. The letters of Adam in the past is golus. If all a person does is dwell on the past and dwell on the past, how are they going to move forward to a brighter future? Now that I think of it, I don't even know if I would call this week part two and last week part one. It's mamish an extension of the same shiur, and I didn't realize it at the time. So of course a person has to have remorse and regret and charata and look back. That's true. But the point of looking back is to have a brighter future and to spring forward. There isn't anything the Yetzirah wants more after the person does an aveira and after the person does tshuva is to make them believe, let me, you'll wallow in the past and you'll continue over your past mistakes. You'll continue over the aveiras that you did. Let it continue haunting you. How's a person like that ever going to move forward? Please don't misunderstand my words. We must do tshuva. We must have charata. We must look back. We must have regret and proper remorse. But then at that point, the Yetzer Tov wants, now move on, fix it, correct it, a future, a brighter, forward. The Yetzer Hara wants the person to remain. And that, says the Kotzke Rebbe, is what Rabbi Yossi Galili is teaching us. And maybe that's shot in the words. What does it say about the person's aveiros? Who's the person who's yorei and rachalev of note that Rashi says in the name of Rabbi Yossi Aglili? It's a person who's afraid of aveiros shebiyadai. What does it mean, shebiyadai? They're still in his hand. He's still holding on to them. You haven't made peace with yourself? You haven't made peace with the past? You're not ready to move on to a brighter future? Again and again and again and again, wallowing in what was. You did the tshuva, you did the charata, you did the vidui. Now the Kabbalah lost it. Move on. My Rabbi said, there isn't anything the Yetzer Hara wants more beyond that person who did the Avera than to keep him wallowing and wallowing and creating a situation of Avera Shebiyadai, that he feels he's still holding on to them, still holding on to them, still holding on to them. Such a person who's wallowing in his guilt and who can't get past what was, such a person is not to be fighting alongside you. And that's the way the Kotzke Rebbe is Masbir Rabbi Yossi Aglili in the Pasuk, Mi'a'ish ha'yari v'rach ha'leva v'yelech v'yoshav l'veisai. I want to reiterate to conclude this pshat, does not mean someone who sinned in the past. That was most of us sinned in the past. But someone who sinned in the past and did tshuva, because you must do tshuva. You must. But you did tshuva, you did the proper steps, and you're still wallowing in the past, you still can't move on. That person who's not looking forward to a brighter future, we don't want fighting alongside us. It's not good for us. In other words, what we have to make sure is that the aveiros that were do not remain aveiros shebiyadai. I really believe this is a strong avoda in Elul. Let's take stock. Let's think of the past year. Let's think of what we've done, how we can make amends, bein adam la'mokim, bein adam la'chaver, bein adam la'atzmai. But then create a future with it. Do something, do something, do something. That's fighting the Mochama against the Yetzirah. If you take a look, a few psukim earlier, the pasuk says, V'haya, it's talking about going to battle. Please take a look at pasuk beis. V'haya, kikarovchem el ha-melchama, and it will be when you go out near to war. The Rimne v'Rebbe, the Heilige Rebbe Menachem Mendel Mirivnev, asks such an amazing shaila. The word v'haya is always a lashon of. V'haya is a lashon of joy. We know Chazal tell us v'yehi is tsar, is woe, and v'haya is a lashon of joy. If we're talking in this pasuk about drawing near to battle, kikarovchem el ha-melchama, why does it say v'haya? Why does it say v'haya? V'haya is an expression and a term that denotes simcha. But battle and bloodshed is something to be avoided. So why is the preface for preparing for battle v'haya? Don't you think it should be a v'yehi? It's not a v'haya. What's the joy? You hear the shaila? The Rimne v'Rebbe Zechusa Yagan Aleinu says this past pasuk is referring to the perpetual milchama. The milchama against your Yetzirah, it's called Milchemes HaYetzer. And the Rimne v'Rebbe says, I want you to learn and I want you to understand that when you go to your Yetzirah and you create a milchama, which means that you go out and you battle him, it might be the inner battle and the inner struggle. It might be our difficulties we spoke out last week. But you battle him, and you battle him. And part of battling is what we said a moment ago, that you don't wallow in the past, but look to a beautiful and brighter forward and future. Fight that milchama, fight that milchama. When you fight that milchama against the milchemes hayetzer, the yetzahara, you know what that creates in Shemayim? V'haya. V'haya is an expression of happiness and an expression of joy. The Ribbono Shel Olam, when he sees that we're fighting the inner struggle and we're fighting the battle, says the Rimne v'Rebbe, quoting from his uncle, Itaka brings a v'haya. V'haya means a happiness, a joy. Perhaps we should better refer to it as a nachas ruach. The struggle itself brings you a happiness and brings the Ribbono Shel Olam a happiness. And therefore, when this pasuk is talking about drawing near and going to war, it's talking about Milchemet HaYetzer, you're fighting the Yetzirah every day, the battle, the struggles. When you do it, just the struggle itself, the battle itself, whether you're victorious or not, but just that you're trying and there's a perseverance, that's a V'haya. It brings a joy, a happiness, a Nachas Ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and ultimately a happiness, joy, and nachas ruach to you. The Rimne v'Rebbe, quoting his uncle, is mamish the pshat that we said a moment ago from the Kotzker Rebbe. A person has to do tshuva if they did averis, but the healthy and correct and proper mahalach is to use that past to create a future. But someone who still has averis b'yodai wallowing is a person that yelech v'yoshuv lebeisai. And don't get discouraged, because just the battle itself, the melchama itself, trying to persevere, that inner struggle, that inner battle, that's a v'haya. It brings a joy and a happiness and a nachas ruach lebeirei to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to us as well. If you take a look in davening, every morning we say, V'chula mekavlim aleihem, this is in Birchas Kriya Shema, ol malchu shamayim, it's talking about the malachim, the angels, how they're mekavl and take upon themselves ol malchu shamayim, the yoke of heaven. Ol that represents a burden. When you use the word ol, it means a burden, something that's difficult. The Shem Mishmuel asked the Avnei Nezer, why is the Avoid of Melochim referred to as an ol, a burden? The Melochim see the greatness of Hashem firsthand. They're in Shemayim. They have a natural desire to glorify His name. Why is the Avoida of the Malachim referred to as an ol, a burden? For them it should be easiest. They see it. Avnei Nezer answered, the Malachim tak have an ol, a burden. It's their realization that they can never change. It's the realization that they can never improve their status. That's a pshat. Malachim taka see the glory firsthand from heaven, but they can't improve. They can't change their status, knowing as great as it is, but that's where you remain and your status can't change nor improve. That's what makes it an ol, a burden. Whereas we b'nei Adam, we're not Malachim, but we can improve. We can change our status. The Averis don't have to be Averis Shebiyadai. They can be a path that brings us the regret and the remorse to create a forward and brighter future. It could be a battle of a Muhammad to create not a Vayahi, but a Vahaya, a Nachas Ruach L'Boireinu. For us, it's not an ol. For us, we can improve. We can change our status. And the fact, albeit it's difficult that we can, we have it better than Malachim. For them it's an oil, for us it's not. To get rid of Averis Shebiyadai, to create a Vahaya, to create a situation of improvement and changing your status, Baruch Hashem, for us it's not an oil, we can. I really believe, my Rabbi, say that's the Avodah as Elul begins. With the positive, vivacious attitude that I can change, I can improve. We did make mistakes, but we can look at our past and use it to move on so that the Averas don't remain Averas Shebiyadai. It dawned on me many months ago, we said over a pshat about the difference between the word Vahaya and Vayehi. Now, I've said the pshat multiple times, but I must be honest with you. Not until tonight's pshat, that pshat from the Kotzker Rebbe's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi Aglili's words, that the one who is Yelech v'yoshev l'beiso is not the one who sinned, many people sin, but the one who's not moving on. The one who isn't taking the past and creating a future. Now I understand the pshat on a far more profound level. Remember a moment ago or a few moments ago we quoted the Medrash that Vayehi is an expression of tsar, negative, woe, angst, sadness. Vahaya is an expression of joy. Why? What makes Vayehi so sad and Vahaya so jubilant and happy? You remember the pshat. Because take a look at both of those words before the vav was added on to them. Before the word was Vayehi, it was first Yehi. Yehi means it will be. Yehi is a future word. Yehi, it will be. When you add a word, you make it Vayehi, and it was. That means you took a beautiful potential future and you're just wallowing and dwelling on the past. When you take a Yehi, what could be a beautiful, beautiful change, improvement, and future, and you continuously make it a Vayehi, you wallow in the past and the past and the past and the past, turning a Yehi into a constant vayehi, whoa, it's a lashon of tzar. Take a look at the other word, vahaya. What was the word without the vav? It was haya. Haya is past tense, it was. What is it with a vav, vahaya? It will be. When you take a past of haya, when you take the aveiros, but you use the regret and remorse for a future to do something, and you turn the haya into vahaya, it will be. It won't be aveiros shebiyad, it'll be a beautiful future. That is a lashon of simcha. Abbas, I have to tell you, I've said that pshat many times, but now I understand it on a far deeper, more profound level based on the Kasker Rebbe. Because if you keep it as aveiros shebiyadai, you're taking what could have been a beautiful future and living with a vayehi. But we have to be zeicha to take haya what was as we approach Elul and turn it into a vihaya, a beautiful future. I end with a bracha the way we began thinking, especially now, about Acheinu kol Beis Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Everyone, how we're mispala for them. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Tzvi. And there are many reasons why it's called the land of the deer. Tzvi stands for Tzadi Beis Yud, Tzadik Bemunaso Yichya, living with Emuna. And in Eretz Yisrael, they live with an extraordinary Emuna. Extraordinary, extraordinary Emuna. Perhaps we could also explain to end tonight's shir. We know, maybe not here in South Florida, we don't see deer. That's true. Up north they see deer. But if a person watches the deer, they'll notice that before the deer will spring forward so gracefully, it first tends to look back, take somewhat of a step back, and then and only then spring forward so gracefully. Watch a deer. And more often than not, you'll see it will turn its head back, with the back legs start moving back, and then using that to spring so beautifully forward. Maybe that's our understanding of Elul, and that's our understanding of Eretz Yisrael. We're to use the step back. We're to use the past and use it to spring forward. Use it to create, to create, to create a beautiful vahaya. Let's talk of Bishchus Eretz Yisrael. Bishchus Eretz HaTzvi. Let's learn and remember the lesson of the Tzvi, that we look back, we take a step back, but not to remain there and wallow there, but to use it to spring forward, Be'ezus Hashem, to a Gebenchte Gesunte Chodesh, to an Elul where we are successful in improving our status, changing, remembering it's not an Ol, working bein odom la mokoyim, bein odom la chazeirayim, bein odom la atzmai. We should taka bizoiche to a guten chodesh, a gebenchte gesunte chodesh, and that should bring about a ksiva v'chasima toiva and a good gebenchte gesunte yar.
Thank you.